Hello, everybody. Welcome to Linux for the Rest of Us. This is Door to Door Geek, aka Steve McLaughlin. Just going to do a really quick podcast. Obviously, Cody's not here, or else that would have went right. Cody is not here. He's on vacation. Martin is very stressed and very busy. But I wanted to put something out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a really quick review of all of the mini computers I have in my possession right now. I'll encourage anyone who's really interested in this to watch the video. If you just go to youtube.com/door-to-door-geek, the video will be there ready to roll for you. It should be the latest video titled Linux for the Rest of Us 175. Okay. First, we're going to go back in time about 3 years or so. Mini computers were really still kind of new. I don't have my oldest one with me, which was called the Zipit Z2. Which was a little micro clamshell device intended for 12 to 13 year old girls to be able to text without a cell phone. Can't find that device. But shortly after that, the realm of a microcomputer really started to emerge. These were some of the first two devices I ever saw. I believe the bottom one is a MK802 and the top one is an MK8022. These are virtually identical computers. The Dot 2 just had a very minor upgrade. It had more RAM, slightly better processor. But this is basically the size of a big thumb drive. One side, you have an HDMI port, which is a little bit difficult to see. Now you have an HDMI port. You have a micro SD card slot, USB, full USB, a power port right there on the end. Just took like a little DC jack, and then it had a USB OTG port right there. Okay, it came installed by default with Android on it. This was right around the ice cream sandwich days, so it's 4.0. But you could load in the micro USB slot a Linux distribution and boot to it. Very underpowered compared to anything today. But I will say they were both still a heck of a lot of fun. You could do some fun little hacking on it, some little fun with it. And it did run Android. It ran Android fair. I'm not going to say in any shape or form great, but it definitely ran it fair. It definitely let me discover the idea of Android on a full-fledged keyboard. Right now, the same basic company that created this has revved this a lot. If you go to ricomagic.co.uk, ricomagic.co.uk, links will all be in the notes. They now have MK802 2S, MK802 4, MK802 version 5, MK902 and 9022, which are more set-top box shape, almost like Roku shape. But if you go to that website, you can still get the same style device, just more upgraded hardware in them. What I'm going to go to next is also about a two-year-old device, but I will say I did have a lot of fun with this one as well. This one is called a Melee A1000. This is definitely a set-top box form factor. Nice, clean front. Just one little light would come on. Very discreet. Not very big at all. On the top, you have actually a little door you can open up to where you can actually put in a laptop hard drive. And it came with a little dock and this little sleeve you could put on it. Just slap it in. On the back, you actually have VGA, DC in, AV out with the composite video, red, white, yellow, HDMI, LAN, I believe it was only 10-100, two USB hosts, and a optical out. On the side, you had a full USB, which was host mode, and then you had a full SD card slot. Once again, this came with Android pre-installed on it. I believe this was only Android 2.3, which I did not realize until I bought the device. It still ran fairly well to very well, surprisingly well. This also came with a remote. That's where I found out the right input with Android on a big screen makes all the difference. Because of the remote that came with this device, it was actually much more usable than the MK802, even though that was a little bit more powerful and had a newer version of Android on it. But I will say the Melee A1000 for its time, very fun device. I do believe the company has continued on making more powerful devices. But this was the last one that I got in that series. I do not know if the site is actually still up, so I'm able to find good information about this one ever at Linux-Dask, lennox-sunxi.org. Definitely have some really good information. I'm going to jump fast forward a lot. Okay. This is the one that holds a really, really warm spot in my heart because it's the most physically desirable, I'll say, of all these devices. This is a Qbox, C-U-B-O-X. It's made by a company called Solid Run, SOLID-RUN.com. This is literally less than 2 inches by 2 inches, little cube. On the front, it's hard to really see even in when you have it. There's a little IR sensor on the front, so you can use a remote control with it. The digital audio is on the side of it, which I found a little bit weird, but okay, whatever. On the back, that's where all the goodies are. You have yourself a power port, 10-100 LAN, still 10-100 LAN, HDMI port. Beneath that is actually a micro SD card slot. You can see a little bit of the red gray right there. The USB is actually more like a console to write the firmware for this micro USB. I do believe you can use micro USB to power this device, though. Above that, you have eSATA, so you can hook up real hard drives to this puppy. Above that, you have two full USB 2.0 port. This runs Android fairly well. I'm not going to say fantastic. Once you put any kind of a heavy game on it, it definitely crawls down. But I will say, running OpenSUSE Linux distribution on this box, I am genuinely shocked and impressed at how well that distribution runs. Of course, if you try to run full screen video 1080p, you will see a slowdown. This is what I call a perfect desktop replacement for someone who just needs to browse Facebook, Amazon shop, that kind of thing. This was a little bit pricey compared to the rest of them. This was like $110. Since then, Solid Run has changed its marketing strategy with their devices. I do believe now you get a better bang for the buck. And I am a genuine fan of this company. I think they do really good work. Okay. What I'm going to bring up next was a very recent purchase in the Door-to-Door Geek household, but I had no choice. I had to buy it now because the company decided they're done. Okay. It's called a game stick. This is form factor size, very, very close to the MK802, and it's really hard to see here. It says game stick on the front, and all the little dots you see and all the letters that you see on this are actually holes. This thing actually gets kind of hot, okay? It's definitely a little bit powerful. I'm going to go over some specs on this one. This is a ARM Cortex A9, I believe, single processor board, 1 gigabyte of true DDR3 flash. That makes a lot of impact, in my opinion. 8 gigs of internal RAM, HDMI port, and it does have built into it a little micro SD slot to it, okay? The device by itself is very useful, very functional, very well. I will say the native OS that came on it to me was an abysmal failure. They wanted to push you towards their game market. I didn't see much for free on it. And I swear, after loading vanilla Android on it, it runs better than ever. So I'm actually pretty happy with this. This also came with game pads. Now the game pads upstairs, but I wanted to bring down with the dock. And I can tell you without a doubt, the main reason I like this dock is you see these two little silver dots here. They're really hard to see. The gamepad sits on top of it and it charges. So it's very painless to charge these things without really much work at all. The actual dock itself physically opens up and the game stick fits inside of it. Okay. So you lose the micro USB port on the side to the dock itself. But what you gain out of it when you put it in is you gain a full USB port up front. The HDMI is the port coming out of the device. Then you have a second USB, full USB port. Then you have a SD card slot for a full SD card. But here's the kicker. You get a true Ethernet port. So if you have this thing hooked up with the flashed ROM of Android on it, you will be very pleasantly surprised at how well this thing performs. Original price for one controller, the game console itself and the dock, I believe was over $130. If you're quick, you might be able to still get the whole set for, I want to say, less than $50. A great device to get, great device to play with it. I really do like it, but the company has said they will never produce any more. They are done. They're going to move on to something else. Okay. Now we're going to go to a more familiar I'll say form factor of computer. And what I'm going to bring out here is, of course, the Raspberry Pi. Everyone has had to have heard of the Raspberry Pi. Just a super quick rundown. One side, you have HDMI port. Then you have a 10/100 Ethernet port. You have two USB ports. This is the original Raspberry Pi. I have an audio jack, and then I have a video jack. And then on the other side, I have a full SD card slot and a micro USB. This is the original Raspberry Pi, 256 megs of RAM, single core processor, I believe 600. Still unbelievably remarkable game changing device. If you still get one, it's still a very useful, very functional device. But I will say, since then, the Raspberry Pi 2 has came out. I have the Raspberry Pi 2 here in a cheap $9 case off of Amazon. It has the holes for the ribbon cables on the top. I think that's a good touch. But the ports are slightly different. First off, I believe this is now finally a gigabit port. I don't think you can get gigabit speeds through it, but you can get faster than 10/100 through it, and that's really important to a lot of people. The other big factor is twice the USB ports. Now you have four USB ports. That is a big deal as far as I'm concerned. You have HDMI. You have micro USB for power. Now, this new port here, I can't remember the name of it. It's basically a four-ring plug. How you have two-ring for headphone jack. Three-ring is typically like microphone left-right. Well, this is a four-ring jack, I believe was what they kept saying. The video and stereo audio is coming out of one eighth-inch type jack. Very interesting is all I gotta say. Very interesting. And it has a micro USB now. So now with your card in, it's a very neat setup. There's nothing jabbing out of one side. This now is a dual core. I believe it's a 900 megahertz processor, and I'm positive I'm wrong. It's more powerful than that. Raspberry Pi is the Ubuntu of these micro boards hardwares. And what I mean by that is, this is the platform that it's hip, quote unquote, to develop for. This is the platform that will serve a lot of people's different needs for a lot of different spectrums. You have a lot of different distributions custom built for it. So if you don't want to do a lot of research, if you do not want to do a lot of work, and you want to be able to get a small form factor computer and basically load something on it and start rolling immediately on the device, you should get a Raspberry Pi 2. Really, really, really solid device. The only thing that to me is a failing between both the Raspberry Pi and the Raspberry Pi 2 is both of them have closed source proprietary graphics chips from Broadcom on them. That really means nothing in the end except for you're supporting Broadcom with their closed source chip. I, on the other hand, went a little bit of a different route. I actually fell in love with what's called the Banana Pi. The Banana Pi, the first one I believe was still made by the company Lee Maker, LEMAKER. Okay, the Banana Pi has a all winner. That's the Banana Pro. Wrong original one. Okay, the Banana Pi basically was two, it depends on your benchmarking measurements, 2 to 4 times more powerful than the original Raspberry Pi. For starters, it had a gig of RAM. Original Raspberry Pi had 256, then the original Raspberry Pi went to the B plus, they went to 512. This still had twice the RAM. Still had a full SD card slot on it. That was one thing I didn't like about it. So when it's in your case, it's still jabbing out of the side. Unlike the Raspberry Pi, there's two little buttons here, power and reset. I love having power and reset. I really do love having power and reset. Next to it, you have a micro USB port, which is actually there, I believe, to reflash the firmware. So I don't ever use that. Then on the other side, you have your micro USB. This is for powering the device. Okay, here's where it starts to differentiate itself from the Raspberry Pi. On the end, you have a power port, and over here, what you have is a eSATA port. I'm sorry, a SATA port. So you can connect a full hard drive up to this thing and access it from every operating system that you load, just like it's a second drive in it. So you get that really good expandability with really good speed because it's SATA. Right next to that, you have full HDMI. Gotta like that. Now, this is full gigabit Ethernet on a dedicated bus that can actually do gigabit speeds. That to me is a big other thing that sets it apart. Next to it, still we have USB 2.0, two ports. Next to that, though, you have a IR sensor. So yes, technically you can control this with a infrared remote. That's cool. That takes it up to a different level. Okay. What we have next to it here is a audio jack and a video jack. What you cannot see here, it's really small. There's a little dot right between the two jacks on the board. That little dot is actually a microphone. Okay. So it has all that built into it. You don't have to buy any dongles to get this extra functionality. You don't have to buy any adapters. You don't have to buy any other hardware devices and worry about powering them. It's all in one device. And here's the real kicker. LeMaker made this because they wanted completely open hardware, completely open hardware. And they had the same goals, and they want to help education over in Asia. So it's an Asian company doing Asian products for the Asian market with the goal of being completely open. I really like the idea of that. Okay. But wait, that's not all. Banana Pi later then got an upgrade to the Banana Pro. Okay. I said the Banana Pi was about 2 to 4 times, depending on your benchmarks, faster than the original Raspberry Pi. The Banana Pro is at least 2 to sometimes 3, depending on the benchmarks, 2 to 3 times faster than the new Raspberry Pi 2. Okay. Depends on your benchmarks, number one. Number two, this is around $60. So it's almost twice as much as the Raspberry Pi. So that might go into how you make your decision. We're going to start around the side again. Same thing. We have two little buttons, power reset. Did I mention I love having buttons? I really do love having buttons. Okay. Now we have micro USB, micro SD for the hard drive. So it doesn't stick out the side. I really do love that. We have the micro USB for programming the board. Again, I don't use that. And then we have this little thing hanging off the side. Yes, it's wireless. Wi-Fi built onto the board, a little antenna with a little end piece that you have to clip onto the board. So now you have wireless built onto the board. You do not have to go buy extra hardware yet again. Okay. Down this side looks very similar to the old setup. You have a SATA power. You have a micro USB for power, SATA data, HDMI, exactly the same setup as the previous Banana. Again, same exact setup. We have full gigabit Ethernet with real gigabit speeds. USB 2.0 still. Okay, then we have IR sensor. We also have the same exact combo plug, audio and video all in one small jack. And again, right next to the jack, very hard to see, there's a little dot on that motherboard. That is the microphone. Still have all the GPIO pins, still have all the ribbon connectors for cameras and other things. This case I bought also did come with heat sinks. Same thing with my Raspberry Pi, because I like the idea of overclocking them. And also, this also comes with Bluetooth. I think that's a big plus. Bluetooth and Wi-Fi on the same chip, I think, is really good, really smart. So with the Banana series of computers, you do get something I can say kind of safely, you get much closer to a near desktop experience. The huge failing for some users is there's no flash. This is an ARM processor. All of these have been ARM processors. There is no quote unquote flash for ARM, except you're on Android and then it's an older version. What I can say though is you can use all four of these devices, the old Raspberry Pi, the new Raspberry Pi, the old Banana Pi, and the new Banana Pro, as actually fantastic home theater front ends for streaming video over your network. I am genuinely shocked at how well they work. They all have XBMC or Kodi distributions that really do work very, very well. There's a couple websites to keep in mind for the Banana Pi. The original one that I liked was bananapi.com. This is not by the company from everything I gather, but they have really good information. Banana Pi also makes things like router boards, where it's literally a little bit of a dumber computer with 5 Ethernet ports on it, to where you can actually make your own router distribution, is basically the gist of it. Now, the current real Banana Pi Banana Pro website is lawmaker.org. And just really quick, right from the website, you can download Lubuntu, Raspbian, Android, Bananian, Berry Boot, La Media, that's their own custom media distribution, Open Source, OpenSUSE, Fedora, Gentoo, Scratch, Arch Linux, Open Media Vault, OpenWRT, Open Media Vault. I cannot implore people enough. Check it out. It's a great home NAS solution for media devices. Really, really top-notch distribution. Okay, what I'm going to bring next is not the same things. Okay, about a year, maybe 8 months ago, my buddy Liam Tidwell in Texas bought himself a toy. He got a little bit bored with it quickly because he, like me, suffers from ADHD. So he sold me at a pretty good discount a Intel NUC. Intel NUC DN2820FYKH. Okay, this is already almost a two-year-old device. But let me tell you something, it meets a lot of needs. For starters, this is a true Intel-based system. This is a complete desktop in this little form factor. See if I can get some... Okay, I do not see measurements on it. This is about the size of four Roku devices, maybe a touch more. Not much more than that at all. Fits on countertops, fits on your media center perfectly. Doesn't have crazy lights in the front, isn't some crazy shapes. Does have a fan in it, can make some noise, okay? But since this is Intel from top to bottom, which means when you buy one from Intel, you do not get a hard drive, you do not get RAM. Intel does not make hard drives, Intel does not make RAM. So when you buy from Intel, it's just Intel, okay? So you got to buy the RAM and the hard drive separately. This right now has, I believe, 2 gigs of RAM in it and a 64 gig SSD, okay? Here's the kicker. Anyone who's ran Linux for any length of time should understand if you have a complete Intel stack from beginning to end of hardware, the likelihood of your operating system running smooth and stable is very high. Okay. And that's what I can say about this computer right here. This runs very stable. It runs very well, in fact. Intel graphics mean you're not going to do any high-end gaming on it. The SSD means you're not going to store massive files on it. But what it can do, it does very well. This is a complete desktop replacement computer for, I believe, 98% of the people on the planet Earth. This will do everything that they need. On the front, again, we have IR sensors. We have USB 3.0. We are finally up to the 3.0 stage. We have two USB 2.0 ports, full gig Ethernet, HDMI, and then headphone and power jack. This device, I can say, you could get then for less than $200, like $1.87. They just revved the NUC series again. I cannot speak highly enough about the NUCs. They are great. I think of them as bare bones mini computers because you buy them and then you can customize them with any hard drive that you want or any quantity of RAM that you want. The only downside about that NUC is, and most of the NUCs are, they have fans in them. So they can kick in, they can kick on, they can make a touch of noise, okay? This is the latest one I got, and again, suggestion from Liam Tedwell in Texas. Thank you very much, sir. This is unbelievable. This is a Zotec Z-Box, and it's a CI320 Nano. This is about the size of a Intel NUC again. You can see very... very comparable sizes. There's not really much difference in them. The Zotec is a little bit wider, but they're very comparable in size. I can say this, no fan in this thing, number one. Okay, that fan makes a big difference. That then makes this a very high and good candidate for a complete desktop replacement or home theater computer. This is very easy to take apart, very easy to add stuff to. Both the Intel NUC and this come with a VESA mount, so you can easily connect it to the back of your monitor, okay? Intel quad-core processor, and I do believe it's a Celeron, comes out of the box, I believe, with 2 gigs of RAM and another 64 gig SSD. Okay, here's what this thing has to start off, okay? We're going to start on the back, actually. We have a genuine Wi-Fi antenna. The antenna makes all the difference with a good quality single. Now we have eSATA. We have four USB 3.0 ports, four USB 3.0 ports. That's pretty awesome. Okay. Then we have true gigabit Ethernet. Over here, we have HDMI. Then we have DisplayPort. Yes, DisplayPort. Then we have our little power jack. The power brick for both the NUC and the Zotac are surprisingly small. I will say that. I was afraid they were going to be gigantic. Okay, on the front, we just have a power button. We have a couple lights. We have an IR sensor. Yet again, these guys, all these little computers really love their IR sensors, don't they? And then we have a full SD card slot. We have a headphone jack, microphone jack, and two USB 2.0 ports. I said the Intel NUC could replace 98% of people's desktops. I believe this could replace 99% of everyone's desktops on the planet, and they would be very happy, very satisfied. This device starts out at around $240. One of the best bang for the bucks things I can mention, I do know now there's at least two companies out there, when they buy these for their customers, they really don't care that when they die, they don't even bother to open them up and redo parts in them because they're so cheap. They just get new ones. Okay. I know the two companies that I bought them combined, I want to say it was like over 30 of them over months and months. No failures yet on them. I'm sure the first thing that will go is probably the hard drive. But for $240, this little bugger right here is fantastic. Okay, one I do not have in front of my hands right now, and I had to stop myself from buying it, I want to mention, is called a Show Me. Okay, if you haven't heard of Show Me yet, Show Me is a major Chinese brand for smartphones. Literally like two or three in the world in sales, they sell so much. Show Me made basically something a little bit smaller than a Q-Box. Okay, it's called a Show Me, and that's spelled X-I-A-O-M-I. And they call it a Mi Box, M-I-B-O-X, Mini, FHD Media Player, MT8685, Android 4.4, quad-core, 1 gig of RAM, 4 gigabyte ROM, 1080p Bluetooth white. I'm going to have a link to this in the notes. You can get it right now from a Geek Buying for $55. Android, with honestly, the only way I can put it, and I don't say this too often, with a sexy remote. This is my, to be honest, maybe the best Android home theater experience type of device I think you could possibly even get. Really nice, really sharp looking device. I believe right now if you go buy it, it's going to have a European socket on it, so you're going to have to deal with that. Fantastic device. Now, Show Me is the same company that's behind MIUI, operating system for Android, which is a ROM you can flash on your Android device if you're tired with the generic or your Samsung or your Motorola or your LG Android. You can flash it with MIUI. This is the same people behind it. I have one more device here, and I've saved this for last for a reason. This is a BeagleBone Black. I'm just calling it BeagleBoard. BeagleBone Black. We're going to have more than a couple of these things to give away on Linux for the Rest of Us very soon. If you join the club, if you already joined the club, you're already entered to win these, and that is at panos.com/Linux for the Rest of Us Club, or just go to the notes and the link will be there. This is the old faithful of the microcomputing world. This thing has been around for, I want to say, at least a year and a half longer than the Raspberry Pi. This is the device a lot of people use whenever they want to do any kind of home automation or robotic type thing, because this thing has so many pins in and out. Okay, this is a ARM Cortex A8. Now, I will say this about ARM processors, which I should have mentioned. The lower the number of ARM processor, like A7, A8, A9, the lower the number, the faster it is. Okay, this is a A8, 512 megs of RAM, 4 gigabit built-in eMMC on board. It has a 3D graphics accelerator. That sounds pretty cool. And it has a bunch of 32-bit microcontrollers for in and out. Connectivity can go to HDMI, Ethernet, USB, software compatibility, Debian, Android, Ubuntu. I don't know if you would really need more. This to me is a great hobby device and a great device if you want to build something in your house. That's all I have right now. And I'm sure there's gonna be more. These were all bought in over like a 3-year time span. Let's just say I have a habit. I like these things. I like these things a lot. I buy them a lot, but I will say I do think this is only going to get bigger and badder kind of thing as time goes on. They're going only going to become more popular and more necessary. I do want to thank everyone for their support. If you want to support us more, just go to podnuts.com. Do not forget, we have merchandise on there. We have hats. We have shirts. You can go to podnuts.com/eBay, podnuts.com/Amazon, and do not forget podnuts.com/deals. That's where people get with us, and we offer discounted merchandise for you whenever possible. And with that, I really do want to thank everyone for their support, and I will talk to everyone in a week.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.